That seems to be working.
Awesome.
Cool. Welcome to the Prodigy podcast. I don't know what episode we're on because lockdown has made me forget what day it is, what week it is, and when the next training session is going to be. I am on coffee number 4 of the day. Unfortunately, my video is not working, so the guys on this podcast episode can't see my glass full of coffee. But on today's episode, we have not one, not two, but three amazing guests today. We have Katie, Katie Turner, who runs the Mini Beast Movement, as well as being a fighter herself.
Hi, how are you?
We have Leo the Bull Curtis, that's a great nickname, who is our mentee. And we have Arnie, and I apologize, Arnie, because people butcher my surname too. Gudnason?
Gudnason.
Oh, so close. Who is the a Norwegian fighter who fights most recently at Cage Warriors Academy, which we're going to touch on very successfully, may I add. So we have three amazing guests. Arnie is Leo's mentor. So kind of before we get into this specific mentorship, Katie, tell me about the Mini Beast Movement and what's it's all about.
Yeah, so firstly, thanks so much for having us on. We're all really excited to have the opportunity to speak about the mentor program and have a mentor and a mini beast on to chat as well as myself. It's always good to hear from them firsthand. The Mini Beast Movement started 11 months ago now. I started martial arts 2 years ago myself. I was looking for something to do to keep fit and to help my mental health, and I got into martial arts and loved it straight away. I've always been involved kind of with coaching children in other formats with different work that I've done. And so I knew eventually I'd want to coach and work with kids somehow in martial arts. And unfortunately, through various personal circumstances, I got to a point where I wasn't able to get to my own gym very much. And I was really missing that interaction with the kids that I'd been helping to coach at our gym and just with martial arts itself. And I'd seen various pages online, such as Leapfrog Combat Sports, posting lots of fighters, and I thought, there's so many talented kids out there, there needs to be a platform for them. And so I launched the Mini Beast Movement, and Leo was actually the second Mini Beast ever to be featured on our page. So we were really excited to have Leo on and get him on as to have a mentor as well. And like I say, we started off just featuring a different child every week, and that was called the Mini Beast of the Week. And then gradually, as our page grew, we got in contact with various sponsors and brands, one called Raksha Fitness Gear, and they said, we really want to support your program, but we don't really do kids wear. Do you have any ideas? And I sort of racked my banshee brain and had some thoughts, and we came up with the mentor program, which pairs amateur or professional fighters with mini beasts, so junior fighters under 18, to just give them a real insight into what life's really like to be a fighter.
I have to say, Mini Beast is an accurate description of both all of your mentees and definitely Leo himself. I haven't had the pleasure of watching him compete in real life, but I can say most definitely from looking at his Instagram videos, Mini Beast is an accurate description.
Absolutely.
So to you, Leo, one of the first things I wanted to ask you was you had your first fight. How did that first fight feel? You won it from what I can see, you and it was a Muay Thai competition.
Yes.
And what I wanted to ask was, like, you know, how did that feel to have your first competition?
Well, before the fight, I felt a bit nervous and sick and, well, a bit anxious, but after the fight I felt still sick. Extremely relieved, proud and happy with myself.
And that must have felt like really important to you to do that first competition and to be able to get into a ring in this case and, you know, compete in front of other people, your teammates and things like that.
Yeah.
And Arnie, I'm sure you can relate as well to your first competition.
Yeah, definitely. And what he said regarding being sick, I have a lot of fights by now. And yet before every single one of my fights, I'm sitting in the back. I am a nervous wreck. I feel like I'm going to throw up. It's a horrible experience until it becomes a good one.
It's that thing of unfortunately, warm-up areas sometimes aren't the most cool places in the world. They can get hot pretty quickly. I'm sure if the rest of the guys haven't experienced it already, they will one day. But usually squash courts are the warm-up area of choice. But it doesn't help for feeling sick when it's about 40-plus degrees in the warm-up area.
Oh, definitely not. It's a very weird experience. And at the same time, you're trying not to look too nervous because your opponent is just 7 meters away. So you're trying to look all cool and cool and ready for fight, but
do you think when you when people kind of talk about confidence competing, do you find that, because people talk about they've got a persona outside of competition, a persona inside, or do you think it's just best to be yourself when you're in the ring?
If you put in the work prior to a fight, you're bound to be confident. I am very confident in my ability to have a fight and go in there and get the win. But at the same time, I'm just nervous. I'm afraid, really. Afraid of not being able to perform up to my own personal standard. And that's what results in being both nervous and afraid before a fight. You just want to go out and show what you're good for.
I think that's a good point that Arnie just made, and that's something that as kind of a coach or an instructor myself is something that I've always taught the kids, whether I'm singing or gymnastics or martial arts, is nerves are important because it means that you've put in effort and it means that you care. It means that you want things to go well. If you're worried, that's a good thing. It means that you've put in a lot of effort for things to go right. And if you put in a lot of effort, it usually means things will go right. So it's all about harnessing that energy and directing it into a good place and learning how to focus with it, because we all get nervous.
And I think it's really important that, especially kind of if you're starting martial arts at a young age, I don't know how old you were when you started, Arnie, but for myself, I always think, oh, I wish I was younger, like most people, but especially for those who are competing at a slightly younger age, it's probably even more important to kind of explain that everyone gets nervous and just to go in with the right mindset into competition.
Yeah, definitely. It's super important. You see the best fighters in the world. You see Donald Cerrone saying before every fight he's about to throw up on the walk. He has, 30 UFC fights and he's still pissed nervous before a fight. So why should anyone else that has, you know, 3-4 amateur fights not be nervous? It's just silly to try and shove it away. Just accept it and embrace it.
Exactly. So kind of delving into your backgrounds, first to Leo and then to Arnie. Leo, how did you get into martial arts?
Well, my parents wanted me to get fitter for my rugby. I also have ADHD, so it was also to drain some energy. And so I went to Monkey Muay Thai and I really enjoyed it. And I wanted to go every day and compete, and it just went from there.
And how long ago was that?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. You're a veteran now. And how about you, Arnie? How did you get into martial arts and mixed martial arts?
I moved from Iceland to Norway when I was 18, and due to having played football my entire life, I wanted something new. Just checked out the local offerings and they had kickboxing there. Signed up and yeah, kind of got stuck.
And that's quite a jump from footballer. Did you compete in football as well?
Yeah.
And so kind of going from competing as a team to competing as an individual, how was that kind of transition? Did you enjoy it? Was it nice to kind of be the person essentially solely responsible for the success?
Well, it's always, you'll always miss the kind of like a team spirit of team competitions, but there's the feeling of when you win, it's only you. It's just you that did it, and that's just something unique, something no team sport can give you, really.
And I guess, Katie, that's what kind of that's what you're kind of trying to foster with the whole Mini Beast movement is, as well as kind of the separate mentorships that you've built, this kind of big, larger group of mentors and mentees, and just kind of embracing that that group feeling and that group support.
Definitely. So everything we do comes down to three things: encouraging, inspiring, and educating. That can come down to a whole host of different things, whether it's just sending a little message, liking someone's picture, letting them know that you're supporting them, or bringing them down for a one-to-one session, or having a FaceTime chat, or an encouragement before a fight. So many different things. And that's from myself as the program, and from mentors like Arnie as well, but also the kids support each other too. And that's really important. We all know that in any competitive environment, politics becomes involved. And for me, coming into, I'm from a musical theatre background, there's a lot of politics there. And so coming into martial arts and seeing the same thing, I just thought, oh, I really don't want the kids to be involved in that. I don't want them to see gym politics and, oh, you know, we don't really talk to people from this gym, and, or, you know, we always try and fight people from this gym. I want it to be a community, because we all have something to give and something to learn from each other, and so much passion in martial arts that there's no reason we shouldn't be able to share with each other. And with this mentor program, we've really been able to show people that you can break down those barriers and have fighters paired with other fighters from gyms all over the world, and really see that it's, you're not going against what the other coach is saying. You know, Arnie's not trying to be a replacement for Leo's coach. Leo's coach is awesome and amazing and does amazing things for Leo. But it's amazing to have a different support system there. Another cheerleader in the corner with their pom-poms kind of going, you can do this, Leo. And that's what it's all about, just creating a big community, a big family.
And I mean, you know, support is, it's really, I think, really easy once you've kind of, you know, you've done years and years of any whether it's kind of musical theater or martial arts, but once you've got that experience and that self-confidence to be, you know, your own corner man in some ways, your own supporter, to be, have those people behind you at first can be really motivating and can kind of help you see the bigger picture when it's so easy after competition, especially if it doesn't go your way, to not see the bigger picture and not to be able to see just, you know, the small successes as well as the big ones.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where the program started from. I was seeing these pictures of children at world jiu-jitsu competitions, and they're like 6 and 7, and they've got a silver medal around their neck at a world competition, and they're just in floods of tears. They're just heartbroken, and they're thinking they're such a loser. And it just broke my heart as someone that works with kids and wants to instill this self-confidence. And, you know, I struggle with mental health myself, and it's something I'm really open with the children about, because I think that it's important. And it made me so sad to see that they weren't able to see the bigger picture. They were seeing, I haven't got this gold medal, rather than seeing, I've got silver. I fought all these children from all these different countries. I didn't give up. I didn't get submitted, or I did get submitted, but I fought really hard. I did that move that we practiced in training. You know, my coach was cheering me on. I've made my family and my team proud. I can make myself proud. That's what it's about. I'm not saying don't be sad that you didn't win. Absolutely, you know, that's part and parcel. And, you know, if you've put the hard work in, you should want to win. But I'm just saying, don't be too hard on yourself, and don't think, oh, I can't do anything right, because you probably did a lot of things right.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, if I were, even if as an adult I went and won silver at Kids Worlds, I'd still be happy.
Exactly.
So, and that's why having a mentor is so important, because it's that person who's there for you. I mean, for yourself, Leo, Arnie being a mentor, and I'm sure, have you had any mentors beforehand?
I had one. His name was Luke Trainer, but he was extremely busy, so it wasn't really working.
He was doing his best to help, but Luke's got so many other projects on at the moment and was kind of transitioning to different promotions that he wanted the best for Leo, but it was kind of best for both parties to let them kind of focus on their individual things for now.
Of course. And what does having a mentor mean to you, Leo? Like, having Arnie being able to support you and see your journey, what's that mean to you?
Well, it's like, it means that I'm able to have advice, and he can give me like tips and tricks and help me advance on my journey.
And Arnie, for yourself, have you ever kind of, you know, been in this kind of mental capacity yourself?
I've never been in a mental capacity, but I have been actively coaching for 4 or 5 years. And it's something I really enjoy. So when I first saw the Mini Beast movement, I sent them a message on Instagram telling them I was moving to England and I wanted to get involved. So far, I've been enjoying it greatly.
And I in terms of you reaching out, it just shows that, like, I'm sure Katie will say more, but it just shows kind of your enthusiasm for it as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's something I wanted to do. So hit her up, got signed up, took maybe a month or so to get Leo, but I'm happy so far. It's been fun. I'm just looking forward to when the world opens up again and Leo gets to start training again and I can help him more. And we actually talked on the phone yesterday. And there isn't a massive distance between us. So when that's possible, I'd like to go over and train with him.
It's really fantastic. Like you say, Arnie actually reached out to us first. And, you know, when I was first getting this program going, we were aiming for 5 partnerships. We've now got over 100 partnerships lined up and 99 successful partnerships on the page at the moment. And to me, that's just incredible. And to have athletes of Arnie's level reaching out to me saying, I would like to be a mentor, what can I do to help? It just blew me away to think, wow, you know, he's seen our program and he's seen what we're doing and he wants to help. You know, I didn't have to send a message first to him. And it's just really incredible to have had the program embraced so much. So I just want to say, you know, thank you to Arnie for taking a shot on our program, and I'm really glad that he's enjoying it, and I'd love to try and get down while him and Leo train with each other and take some pictures and stuff.
And I mean, for yourself, Katie, as well, did you know you say you started martial arts 2 years ago? Beforehand, even when you weren't doing martial arts, were mentors like a really valuable thing to you? Was it something that actually you kind of were seeking and you realized how important it was for other people to have?
I think I've been very lucky in my life that I have been guided through various people in my life. So I lost my dad when I was 12, actually. And so I think looking for guidance is probably something that I've naturally done. And I had a music teacher when I was at school who I call him my school dad now, and he really was a guide for me during some really tough times. And when I was doing my musical theatre, I had a lady who really helped me as well. And now that I'm doing the Mini Beast movement, I've got Amir from Leapfrog Combat Sports and Martin from Origins Media who are really sort of guiding me on this journey. And so I do think it's so important to have someone there when you maybe feel a little bit low in confidence, to just say, you know, you're on the right track, you can do this, keep pushing. And it makes you even more motivated, I think, when you've got that group behind you, because you want to do it for them as well as yourself.
And I think there's something quite unique about having someone who maybe not specifically, like, don't get me wrong, there is There's a specific thing of being someone being able to help you in your own gym, or someone who's in a very kind of close circle to you. But actually having a mentor like Arnie, who is kind of a step away, and not maybe directly in the gym with Leo, and having someone who, you know, has had a whole other different host of experiences, means that it kind of, the support feels different.
Absolutely. And I must say, all of the mentor chats include the coaches. So Leo's coaches know exactly what's going on when him and Arnie chat with each other. And there's no sort of whispering behind closed doors to get different information. It's all open and honest, and it's one big team. And like you say, it's just bringing a different insight, different experiences, and how they can help Leo. And that's what it's all about, helping Leo and helping the other mini beasts in their partnerships too.
And for yourself, Arnie, do you have any kind of mentors for mixed martial arts, or is there anyone you kind of looked up to as you were doing any sport growing up?
Well, I've been really lucky in my martial arts training. Is I've been moved around in Norway, and all the places I've trained at, I've been under some fantastic coaches. And I made some great connections and learned from some really great men when it comes to how to coach and how to mentor and motivate your athletes. So I truly feel that I've been lucky in that aspect.
And is there anyone you kind of look up to? Is there, in terms of maybe more broader inspirations, is there any other kind of, do you look up to any particular professional MMA fighters, or martial artists in general, or just kind of people who that you find fascinating that you use for inspiration?
I mean, like I touched on before, there are two people that have helped me a lot with the nerves. Is one of them is Robert Pulpin, who is in WAKO kickboxing, is probably the greatest minus 91 kilo fighter ever. And he went out and said the same as Donald Cerrone before his fight. He was terribly, terribly nervous. Has the same thoughts as me, wondering, why am I doing this? Why do I keep saying yes when my coach sends me a message, you want to fight? Just those two, like two high-profile fighters coming out and being open about the struggles and their nerves about fighting, that really helped me getting through admitting it to myself as well, because you know there's like this tough man image. No one's, you're not supposed to admit, oh, I'm nervous, or oh, I'm a bit scared, I don't want to lose. But with like those, you know, two very high profile fighters, and GSP as well, possibly the greatest fighter ever, all coming out and saying, this scares the shit out of me, that has helped me tremendously.
Yeah, I think that. And we're seeing, you know, more and more fighters come out. I think one of the most recent examples I can think of is Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje says, you know, I know I'm going to get hurt. I'm, you know, he kind of openly discussed his worry about getting hurt in his fight. But he was happy to discuss that. He didn't pretend he was invincible or anything like that. So I think we're seeing more and more fighters kind of, you know, discuss things that maybe in the what we'll call the previous golden era of MMA and martial arts, this kind of tough man persona, and kind of going in and thinking that you are invincible and that you're not kind of nervous or anything like that, is starting to fade away slightly.
I personally think it's a good direction we're heading in, being more open about, you know, the mental aspect, the mental struggles, instead of this tough man, like, no, nothing bothers me.
I agree. I think it's fantastic. And I must just add that Leo is a perfect example of that. You know, Leo is so open and honest on his Instagram page and his Facebook pages about the different things that he's going through in his life. And I think at such a young age, you know, are you 11, 12, Leo?
11.
11 years old. And he just writes so beautifully about, you know, the struggles that he's having, and he's so open and honest, and it's really fantastic. And I urge people to head to Leo's page. I think it's at Leo the Bull Curtis, and just learn about what he's going through and take some inspiration from him, because we can all learn a lot from Leo.
Thank you.
I think, you know, that just says it all, is that we've been talking about mentors, and usually when we think about mentors, it's someone who's older than you and more experienced than you. But that doesn't mean that we can't be inspired by people who are younger than us. So I think experience comes in all forms. And I think between myself, Katie and Arnie, we wouldn't be able to kind of comment on any of Leo's experiences the same way, you know, any of us could comment on others. And I think that's the beautiful thing about martial arts, is that, you know, we're all connected by this kind of one thing of enjoyment and, you know, wanting to get better. But actually, we all have different experiences and different understandings.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there. And as a new martial artist myself, I am learning so much from these kids. You know, a lot of them have a lot more experience than me when it comes to martial arts. And so, you know, they can help me with things like that. And I learn a lot from them. And hopefully they feel like they learn things from being part of the program as well. So it's fantastic to grow this community.
So I'm going to throw a question to Leo. We've been talking about kind of people. I asked Arnie about people he looked up to. Is there any kind of, do you have any favourite fighters or, you know, people that you look up to?
I've got a few, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, in my side, I look up to Evan Jays.
Nice.
But in Bellator, I look up to MVP.
And why do you look up to those particular fighters? Is there something you like about them?
With Evan Jays, I like the way he fights and how, like, relaxed and how, like, nice he is and all, and the way he fights. And for MVP, I just like the way he... Well, I like... He's entertaining for me, and he's quite... I like how cocky he is.
that moves quite well into yourself, Arnie, in terms of kind of fightings and styles. You, for watching your fights, it is quite clear to see that you very much kind of try and control the pace, and it's quite impressive to watch you take your time, and you're someone who comes across as never choosing to be reckless, and always choosing to kind of pick accuracy and choose how you want to kind of take the direction of the fight.
Yeah, definitely. I try to be accurate. I try to be technical. Something I pride myself on being technical. And I prefer a lower volume of strikes with more accuracy. I'm not just, you know, running forward and blasting and hoping for the best.
And is that something that you've kind of grown up in when you've, you know, training in Norway? Has that been something that's been encouraged always, or is it something that you've made a personal choice for?
Well, I think it's just a combination of the styles I've trained in. I've done some light contact sparring competitions. I've done some point fighting. I've done full contact, K1. And eventually it's just molded into fighting like I do. And then my footwork is, I'm quite the mobile for a fighter my size. So I try to use that to my advantage.
I mean, from a light, like you were talking about light contact kickboxing and something, funny enough, like Leo picked MVP. There's seemingly a larger rise of fighters that are coming from these more varied striking backgrounds, whereas it used to be people may have trained either kickboxing or Muay Thai. Those were usually the two typical, or if we start at the original, kind of like way back when in mixed martial arts, maybe karate as well. But we're seeing a significant amount of kind of people come from more varied striking backgrounds, usually, especially like the light contact style.
Oh yeah, definitely, and it has its perks. They're great at going back and forth, but they're lacking a bit in the lateral movement.
And are those the kind of things where you've had to amend your styles? Is that something that you've struggled with, or you found quite easy when you've kind of transitioned into MMA? I know some people decide that they're going to stick with the kind of the movement patterns of light contact kickboxing. You look at someone like Wonderboy Thompson, or have you kind of did you find the transition easy to kind of blend it into the mixed martial arts world?
I kind of just I just plucked whatever felt natural to me. If they have a certain movements or certain techniques felt natural, I stuck with them and worked on them. And then you just start adding your wrestling in, and you start adding your ground game in. And eventually it just becomes, you just, as long as you aren't trying to, as long as you don't go in with the mindset of this doesn't work, and you just work on what feels natural and what works for you, it just kind of molds together in a natural way. Being a mobile fighter obviously has its benefits when it comes to MMA. It's like, I'm not, you know, like a pure TIE fighter that stands heavy on his back foot and on his tiptoes on his front foot, or a boxer that wants to put all his weight down on the floor. I'm just moving around and doing what feels natural there and then.
And Katie, for yourself, I mean, kind of, you talk about learning from the mentors and mentees. You must hear this stuff and be like, great, I'm gonna take all of this. I'm gonna try and use it myself as well.
It's fantastic. You know, I am in every mentor chat. All 99 of them that are currently on the page, I am in there. So when Janet Todd is giving kickboxing advice to McKenna Wade, I get to see it. And when Tyrese Cunliffe is giving jiu-jitsu advice to Kaya, I'm there watching and trying to keep an eye on everything. And it really does blow my mind. And I'm really lucky that all the mentors are so giving with their knowledge and their advice, and they're happy to pass on this information. It's really great to see. And I'm lucky that my coach initially, Peter Irvin at Newcastle Fight Center, sort of instilled this love of martial arts in me, because if it wasn't for that first class with him, I wouldn't have fallen in love with martial arts. And if it wasn't for sort of his support through my different challenges, I wouldn't have had the confidence to even start this program. You know, he gave me the all clear to start assistant coach in our jiu-jitsu class when I hadn't really had much experience myself, but he saw how passionate I was. And I just want to give a quick shout out to my team for their support for everything they've done for me, or the program wouldn't even exist. And so for me now to be able to sit and have this contact with so many professional fighters and so many talented juniors, it's just amazing, as a new martial artist myself, just to sit back and watch it all happen.
And I think maybe that's a warning to Leo and Arnie. I think Katie's just using this to steal BJJ and MMA and K1 secrets. I think this is secretly her plan. She's rounding up all the best fighters in the UK and Europe, and just trying to find their best skills.
That's what it is. I'm just plotting so that when I want to unleash the banshee, it's just go time. I already know if I go down and train with most of these kids, they're going to beat me up. I've got to give myself a fighting chance.
So this is the only question I'm going to mention lockdown on, because I am so sick of it. But I wanted to ask, starting with Leo, kind of what Arnie touched on, the fact that it's been a bit more difficult where you've been kind of locked down and being able to train and being able to maybe mentor in a particular way. But what have you been doing training-wise during lockdown?
Well, I've been doing a few online classes with my Monkey Muay Thai, Colton Gracie, the Junior Strength Academy, and Sam Hall. But I've also been doing some homemade workouts and some running, bike rides, and the odd DVD workout.
And how have you been finding kind of training like that? Is there things that you've decided that you actually quite like?
I do like the my homemade workouts and my running and biking. So when lockdown's over, I'm going to try and keep all of that up, as well as all my extra stuff and all my extra clubs.
And for yourself, Arnie, as a someone who's, you know, a mixed martial arts fighter, who's obviously, you know, committed to, you know, taking their career in an upwards trajectory. I hate that word, but you know, trying to make sure they're progressing all the time. How have you found training during lockdown? Is there any kind of things you've been doing in regards to mindset?
Well, let me just start off by saying that Leah was playing his training down a bit. Because he's been like an absolute little savage going through. And ever since I started following him on Instagram, he's been putting me to shame. He's been shaming me into running more. Oh, but I mean, you got to just got to make the best out of it you can. I've been, you know, the usual, doing shadow boxing, doing some running. You know, there's limit to how many push-ups you actually want to do. But like I said, you just got to do the best of it. Constantly think about it. Think about it. What's tape? Try to evolve, like, mentally, while you can't be evolving as much physically. And then just hope to, you know, get back into the gym as soon as possible.
And, you know, are you one to, I know, and I've discussed this before, kind of social media and on podcasts, about ways that people are using this time, but are you one to kind of use things like instructional videos and things like that? Obviously, I know you from a, you may have kind of, there's not as many kind of mixed martial arts focus. You can't really create too much of an instructional base for MMA fighters, but maybe specifically for things like BJJ and stuff like that.
To be honest, I have not. I have been very busy turning in my thesis. I was finishing my last year of university, so that has been taking a lot of my focus.
And what have you been studying at university? I've got to ask.
I just finished my degree in marketing management.
So, I mean, that in itself, kind of, I'm sure you can agree, Katie, is that kind of part and parcel. Do you discuss that with Leo? Do you kind of talk about kind of the wider stuff outside martial arts and things like that?
Absolutely. So one of the programs that we run as part of the Mini Beast Movement is a sponsorship assistance program. So that teaches the kids how to write a letter to sponsors, the different things that you can talk about. We also have social media advice that we give to the kids. So how to post on social media, what to post, what not to post, as well as sort of safety tips as well. Because, you know, running this page, I do get messages sometimes like, can I get a sponsor? And sort of our page at the moment doesn't even sponsor athletes, and often this is kind of from children that don't follow the page. But I'm not going to sit, turn around and go, no, of course you can't, we don't do sponsors. So I give them advice back, and I say, you know, imagine if you walked into a room with lots of people, would you walk up to someone you didn't know and say, can I have £10, please? It would seem a bit strange, but if you walked up to them and said, hello, my name's Leo, for example, I'm a martial artist, I'm working really, really hard, I've got a competition coming up and I'm just £10 short of entry, so that would be really helpful and I really think I could get a gold medal, someone's much more likely to help you out then because you've explained to them. And so I just give them advice, and I think that's important, just learning how to grow. You know, at 11 years old, you're not really to know how to have a business conversation with someone. I wouldn't expect you to. So that's definitely something that myself and the mentors as well give advice on.
Well, I've got two sponsors, and one is White Fox Photography, and another one is Sam Hull, person I mentioned I do training with as well. So, and I just, how they help, and how they help me, like, say, White Fox really helped me. He came to my training sessions, took some photos and videos until I'd done my first actual fight. And I've had Sam Hall. He's helped me with training. He's helped me as an osteopath perspective. And just wanted to talk about how they helped me in that way.
And I think there's an interesting thing about, you know, it's something that unless you know about it, like unless you follow them, you're not really going to be too aware of like the athletes who are kids. And, you know, unless you follow, you know, the kids' worlds or the kids' competitions, you know, and it's a whole new world when it's like, well, if you got a sponsor, a junior fighter, how do you go about that? How does a junior fighter advertise themselves as a competitor and as an athlete? From an adult, you can kind of see the basic steps to the path, and it gets more complex the deeper you go. But for someone who's, you know, still at school or, you know, at sixth form or college, you know, it's a whole different world.
Absolutely. And it's just about working with the parents, children, and working with the sponsors as well to kind of to make those connections and just sort of explain this is how it works. I am kind of in a unique perspective now where I'm in a position where I'm helping people almost in the same way a sponsor would, but also I have sponsors for our page, and so I am able to know what a sponsor's looking for, what the right things to say to somebody to get them on board to help you, and also kind of from the other perspective what you need to do. So I'm able to kind of give advice to the kids from both points of view, which hopefully they find helpful.
And Arnie, from your perspective, kind of as an adult fighter, what kind of and the difficulties around things like finding sponsors and finding whether it be kind of monetary or kind of support by other means, you know, where do you kind of land on that? Is that something that you've had to learn, or have people been able to give you advice on it as well?
Well, we come from a different, there's a different struggle in Norway as the sport isn't even legal there. So that's a bit of a challenge. So sponsorships for MMA fighters in Norway are very limited. I've been lucky enough to have a supportive gym, so I haven't needed it. So I've personally never really put any effort into it because, like I said, I did some coaching at my own gym, and then as a fighter and the coach at the gym, they paid for my flights and hotels. So I've been lucky in that way myself. I haven't needed it yet.
And I guess it means that you're able to, you know, have that focus on the training aspects over, you know, making sure that you've posted on Instagram every day, or kind of, you know, made sure that your LinkedIn profile is up to date. I know MMA fighters don't have, well, some MMA fighters have LinkedIn.
Thankfully, my kids, as I am horrible on social media, I make on average about 4 posts a year.
So we can work out how many fights you've had just based on how many posts you have a year.
Pretty much, it's like pre-fight and post-fight. That's pretty much what I do.
So let's kind of talk about goals, Leah. You know, talk about kind of goals for mentors and mentees and goals for the Mini Beast movement. Leo, for you, like, you know, what are your goals for yourself or with training? Is there anything that you like, you kind of want to reach to at the moment?
Well, I want to get fit. I would like to get fitter and like get more muscle in general, but I've also got a goal of, I want to eventually be able to run a 10K in a decent time. Like, right now, I can run a 5K in 27 minutes.
What?
That's really fast with your short term.
This is worrying me that your goal is, oh, I want to, you know, get fitter and get more muscular. 27 minutes for 5K is a good time for most. It's a great time for most adults. So
they're mini beasts. They don't.
Leo, you're scaring me now.
I mean, I've got determination, so there's nothing stopping me there.
Like, but Arnie, yeah, Arnie definitely wasn't lying when he said that you've been absolutely smashing it with the home training.
Yeah.
So you're saying you wanted to run 10K
in a decent time.
Okay, right. Let's delve down into this. What is a decent time for the ball?
Maybe around in 20, between like 20 and 30 minutes.
Okay, this is terrifying. I am terrified now that I'm not that you won't be able to do it, but that there's going to be an 11-year-old that's probably going to be able to lap me doing 10K.
I'll definitely have to work very hard to get there, but I'm not going to stop trying until I can do it.
I mean, that says it all, right? And so something else I wanted to ask you was, you know, Katie's touched on it a little bit, but you have ADHD and, sorry, I've gone blank, and Tourette's as well. And you posted something that recently that I thought was just, I mean, there's so many words to describe it. Amazing, brave, confident, just it. And it's something that I just thought was, you know, so impressive for someone who, and in the least condescending way possible, but for someone your age to, you know, be able to show people the kind of the day-to-day of some of the problems that you face. Is there anything that you kind of like talk about? You want to talk about it?
Sometimes quite a lot. I hear people calling them disabilities. I don't tend to think of them as disabilities. I mean, they help me at times. And well, they're not going to stop me. They use them to help me train. I don't like to think about it as much. And, well, I would also like to be an inspiration to others one day. And to show people that additional needs can't stop people from achieving their dreams.
And, I mean, you're already an inspiration to everyone else on this call, I firmly believe, but the fact that, you know, you're thinking in that way says it all. Kind of what you said that in some ways it helps you. What do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes it's when I'm feeling down or like can't focus, I just think to myself, it's not, I don't know how to describe it if I'm not completely honest, but they just help me in, like, what say when I'm down, they just help me.
Well, I think, you know, from my perspective, we more and more, you know, people showing that irregardless of kind of any things that they have in their life, like, you know, they can succeed, and you're proof of that, that, you know, just because there are certain things that, you know, people may feel hinder you or stop you and slow you down, actually, you know, they're not going to do that, especially for someone who's determined on running 10K just that goddamn fast. And Katie, what, you know, I mean, hey, where do you find these kids? But, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
No, well, I think the determination of these kids is just a testament to themselves and to their parents as well. You know, like, Leo's a perfect example, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted him on this call. You know, his family are so supportive of him as well, and and of this program too. And it's just really incredible to see them so determined at such a young age. And they really motivate me to keep this program going and grow it even more. You know, we started just 11 months ago with roughly around 300 followers, and we recently celebrated 3,000 in 11 months. And it's all down to these kids and these mentors and how talented and special they are. And I'm just very lucky to be a small part of their lives and get to watch as it all happens.
And Arnie, for you, I mean, having someone like Leo to be able to talk to and to be able to see his experiences, what's that like for you?
I mean, he is obviously a massive inspiration with what he's going through and just the way he trains. I mean, the amount he's been training in the lockdown would be impressive for a professional athlete whatsoever, an 11-year-old that's also doing school. So, I try to give him some, and I feel like it's a relationship of giving and take. I feel like I'm giving him some, and he's definitely giving me a lot. So, yeah.
And for yourself, I'm sure when you get back to full-time training, you'll be thinking of Leo training as hard and trying to get yourself pushing as hard as possible.
Oh, definitely. Be like Leo. Everyone should.
Be like Leo. I think that's an easy hashtag right there.
Train like a bull. There we go.
So, Arnie, in your last fight, we were discussing kind of before we properly started the podcast, you were probably one of the last fights. You were probably one of the last fight cards to happen in the UK. And you won the 185-pound belt?
Yeah.
The amateur belt at Cage Warriors Academy. How was that for you? What was that kind of feeling to get that belt and kind of, you know, just that kind of moment of knowing that you were able to kind of prove yourself on such a, what is now one of the kind of largest proving grounds in Europe on the amateur circuit?
Well, I mean, the belt itself is mostly just a representation of years and years of hard work. It's like all the hours we've spent in the basement gym I trained at is represented by that belt. But I mean, we all want to win a belt. Medals and trophies are cool, but the belts, it's all about the belts. So it's obviously an amazing experience. It's not really sure what to say about it. I mean, it's something you train for so long, so hard, and then suddenly it's there. You win the fight, and it's just a surreal experience, really, being able to take the belt and give it to my coach.
And in terms of kind of where you look for the future now, do you look, obviously, you know, once you're back to competing, defending the belt? Or I know that I believe you fought at higher weight classes, fighting at higher weight classes, or possibly now moving forward to a professional career.
Well, I fought at light heavyweight because I didn't get a fight at middleweight. So we took a light heavyweight fight on 3 week notice, or 5 week notice. But as for moving forward, I mean, the first step is just to find a new gym. I need to find a new gym here in London, a place to train, see how that goes. And then ideally, I'd like to defend my belt at least, you know, a couple of times, get more experience and see where that takes me.
I mean, experience is everything, especially, I guess, when you're looking at championship fights, championship rounds and all those kind of things. It's a whole different ball game in terms of kind of, I mean, we were talking about this again before we started, like, you know, when it comes to usually the championship fights, they're usually the last ones on the card. So, you know, even down to just kind of being a later fight. All these kind of minutiae can make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. I've personally been lucky fighting out of Norway, because the Cage Warriors in Colchester is the official Norwegian fight card as well. So we usually have between 10 to 20 Norwegian fighters fighting there. So we have our own Norwegian fight card inside of the Colchester one. So we fight relatively early, so it can be shown on prime time on the Norwegian streaming websites.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, that's really an unusual thing, given that you mentioned that it's illegal in Norway. The idea that it's having to be streamed on websites, and you know, the difficulties around that. Do you see Norway's MMA scene changing soon?
I wish, but no, sadly not. And they're continuously working for it. But Norway is just, the politicians are being very, very difficult.
Is that something that drew you to moving to the UK as well as obviously competing over here?
Nah, not really. I've been in Norway for 10 years. Felt like doing something new.
And in terms of finding a gym, that must, you know, the moving gyms is always difficult, as well as obviously moving countries, but kind of finding somewhere to settle. How do you go about starting that?
Well, like I was telling Leo yesterday, it's basically I'll have to go to multiple gyms. It's kind of like, you know, shopping house. Let's go there, see how you feel, see how you fit in, how you fit with the coaches. If they're like, you know, if Athens Bear is something for you or not. So hopefully something close to my home would be ideal. But I'll just have to see how it goes.
And I mean, finding a place you feel comfortable at, comfortable in, and that feels like home, is so valuable and so important when you're training at least twice a day. And I mean, the same goes for, yeah, and like you're saying to Leo, just kind of finding somewhere that feels like home, right?
Yeah, it's super important to go, because like you said, you're training once, twice, sometimes three times a day. And you're spending a lot of time with those people, and a lot of times in the gym. And when you're tired and broken down, you want to feel like at least you're going somewhere where you feel safe and secure and you enjoy being with the people. It just makes the entire process so much easier.
And I mean, Katie, it's really fascinating to know that the kind of mentor-mentee relationship so expands so much more than just kind of training itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I really wanted it to be when I started it, because that's what a mentor is. You know, it's more than just do this warm-up, try this exercise. It's about what life is really like as a fighter, and sometimes moving gyms comes into it, moving to a new country, fighting somewhere you don't know, being nervous, you know, these are all things that are part of being a fighter. And so it's important for the kids to know that when they're going up to it, you know, knowing that you've got to sometimes fight at a different weight class so that you can have a fight, or, you know, sometimes the belt just happens and you go for it. And like I loved when Arnie was saying, you know, gold medals, we all like them and things like that, but they're just a sort of a representation of the hard work. And like I said right at the start of the call, that's why I started the Mini Beast Movement, to help put that sort of mindset into the children that, yes, these medals are really awesome and these belts are really awesome, but they're a representation of all the hard work and the sacrifice that we've put into that. And I think hearing it from me is great, but hearing it from someone who's actually in a cage fighting and getting punched in the face and has done for a long time means a lot more.
And kind of before we round off, where do you see kind of the Mini Beast Movement going from here? You said you've got even more, I'm sure, even more mentors and mentees to sign up. But is there any kind of hopes that you have to kind of take it in a particular direction?
Yeah, so the program's kind of growing a lot faster than I thought it would. our Mini Beast of the Week program has about 250 children on a wait list to be featured. I kind of just had to stop it because it's already too much of a wait really for kids. And the mentor program, as you say, we've got a couple more mentors to announce, and we're already at 99, and I want to make sure that I can keep focus on it. But I'd really like the Mini Beast movement name to be synonymous with, like I say, those three key words, encourage, inspire, and educate. I want children and mentors and professional athletes to see our logo and know that you can walk up to that person and you'll be okay. You'll get the help that you need, the advice you need, the encouragement you need. If you're at an event and you're alone and you need someone to say hello, find that t-shirt, you can say hi and you'll be okay. I want us to be the community, the one-stop shop for junior fighters in the world. They need help. You know, we do more than just be a repost page, and that's something that's really important to me. You know, it's really deeply rooted in building self-confidence and making sure these kids feel supported.
Well, just taking a look at the Instagram page shows that it's definitely heading in that direction. If it's not already there already. Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming on. We're going to... Sorry.
I just said, just before we finish, can I just quickly talk about my coach, James Rubin?
Of course.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, just talk about how much he's helped me on my journey and all the times he's been there for me. Like, when I've done my first ever actual fight, I was really panicky and stressed. And he was there telling me it's okay to have nerves. Nerves mean you care. I just wanted to talk about like how much he's been there for me the whole way through my whole journey. Since literally the very beginning, he was my first one-on-one coach. He was my first actual coach at Monkey Muay Thai. He's been there the whole time for me. I just wanted to say thank you to him.
I mean, to have someone. Well, so many people around you, and coaches especially have a special place in every fighter's heart. I'm sure Arnie will agree. You know, you spend. I heard someone say once, you spend more time with your coaches sometimes than your parents or your own bed. So you know, they get to know you so well, and you get to know them. So they do kind of. He's obviously really special to you, like all coaches would be. Right. So I'm now going to throw this on Arnie and Katie, because unfortunately I may have slightly forgot to brief you guys about this, but I have a quick fire round as a lighthearted way to finish off the podcast.
Okay.
And it's essentially just a few questions to... see what you guys respond with. So what we'll do is we'll go Leo first, then Katie, then Arnie. So the first question is, what's your favorite technique?
Mine is Muay Thai.
Well, okay. Katie, favorite technique or favorite martial art?
My favorite technique from all martial arts is a head kick. Banshee loves a head kick.
Right, noted. If we ever cross paths, I'll make sure I'm wearing my head guard. And Arnie, how about you?
Low kicks.
So we've kind of covered the whole body there. And Leo, your favorite current fighter?
Evan Jays.
Nice. Well, it was a pick between the two, right? How about you, Katie?
So many. Locally, my favourite fighter is Lanchana Green. She's one of our mentors. She's one of the first fighters I ever saw, and she's actually part of my kind of extended team, which was crazy when I found that out when I started my gym. I kind of fangirled a little bit, but she's awesome. I love her style. And my favourite sort of on the wider scale would probably be Janet Todd at the moment. Really enjoy the way that she fights. And when she won that championship belt, one of our mentors won championship, champion, I was just screaming for joy.
And how about you, Arnie?
Probably right now it will be a style bender.
Yeah, is there any reason kind of Stylebender has appealed to you? Is it, you know, specifically just him as a kind of in terms of competing, or is it overall him as a fighter and slash personality?
His overall fighting skill, fighting style. It's calm, it's collected. He picks his shot.
Yeah, it's great. If you ever want something to watch, my recommended thing to anyone listening is just going back and watching his back catalogue, like his all of his K1 fights, his kickboxing fights. Okay, right. One of my favourite questions. Leo first. Your favourite post-fight food?
Nando's.
Oh, he smashed it. He smashed it. I don't know how you guys are going to beat it, but go on, Katie. You can give it a go.
It's got to be pizza. Pizza's like staple diet food.
You know what? I've got to ask, actually, going back to Leo, come on, what's the Nando's order? I love finding out this.
I can't remember the name. It's like a pitta, chicken pitta. I really like that.
If this podcast gets sponsored by one thing and one thing only, please let it be Nando's. Yeah. Katie, is there any particular type of pizza you go for?
I'm usually pretty boring, you know. It's usually just standards like cheese or something like chicken and bacon, something like that.
The bigger the better, though. And how about you, Arnie? You win your championship belt. You're out in Colchester. Where's the first place? What's the first stop?
The issue with Colchester and how well I'm known there is, like, how well I know my way around, is the only thing that's usually open when we're done is McDonald's. So we don't really have a lot of choice.
And how about if you had a bit more free rein?
If I had a bit more free rein, it'd be some disgusting piece of pastry.
Nice.
That's absolutely my weakness, is pastry. So it would probably be
fun to ship Arnie.
Yeah.
Okay, so Arnie's sponsored by like cinnamon swirls, Danish pastries, like the whole lot. Is it something that you just refuse to allow in the house?
I can't have it during a wake-up. It cannot be in the house. It's absolutely not acceptable. It will get eaten with no remorse. So it is not allowed.
Is this the real reason that we moved up a weight class for a fight? You can tell this is a safe place here.
Now, okay. A funny story is because Leo's former mentor, Luke Trainer, I saw him the first time. I think it was the fight card before I fought on Cage Warriors, or the first time I had a fight, and he competes at light heavyweight. I was standing next to him and I looked at him. I was like, yeah, you know what? Cutting weight ain't that bad.
Yeah, he's giant.
He has like 5 inches on me.
I've stood next to Luke Trainer. He's a hell of a size man.
Yeah, I'm not even a big middleweight. So cutting down is just fine.
There's nothing like having someone in the next weight class up to kind of check you into making sure that you stay in your one.
Yeah, definitely. Because you see them on TV and you're like, oh, they ain't that big. And I was standing next to him. I was like, oh, shit.
I remember meeting Alexander Gustafsson once. And I met Alexander Gustafsson and Michael Bisping on the same day. Senni, if you know it. It was back. They don't run them anymore. But I remember standing next to Michael Bisping and going, no, you don't fight a middleweight. You don't seem big enough. And then I remember meeting Alexander Gustafsson. I'm going, yeah, that's why you don't fight a light heavyweight, though. I was like, this man terrifies me. He's so big.
That 20-pound gap is brutal.
I mean, it's something that hopefully we'll see a change to one day. It's bringing in more weight classes. I mean, for someone in Leo's situation, for essentially any junior fighter, kind of weight classes shouldn't be of a concern anyway, but they seem to have more weight classes at the lower ages specifically for that.
Yeah, 195 is, that's better than needed.
Where do we get to? Post-fight food. Right. Leo, wrestling or BJJ?
BJJ, I'd say.
Yeah. And how about you, Katie?
BJJ, armbars for life.
Oh, and you yourself, Arnie?
I'm very split.
You're split?
Yeah. I've trained at a very wrestling-heavy gym, which was horrible, but in hindsight, it was really good for me. BJJ is more fun. Wrestling is better for you.
Wrestling, there's no such thing as an easy wrestling class, right?
No, not at all.
Everyone shaking their head. Leo, this is a question that seems to have gone down with everyone quite well who I've asked it on the podcast. If someone to play you in a movie, who would it be and what type of movie would it be?
I would say Tom Holland, and it would be an action/comedy movie.
I like it. And how about you, Katie?
I have no idea who would play me. Probably someone loud. Loud. It would probably be some sort of comedy where lots of action-y things go wrong.
Kind of like some sort of Rush Hour.
It would be, yeah, part of the Cornetto series, a Simon Pegg kind of movie, I imagine, with things that go on with my life.
Fights in the pub with aliens, that kind of thing.
I imagine Miranda would probably be quite a good representation of things that happen to me.
And how about you, Arnie?
I have to be honest, I have no idea. Someone blonde with a big ass head that makes way too many noises. sounds fair.
It's always about being honest with yourself, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I know I'm way too loud. My head is massive.
But it's fine because, you know, at least if I'm ever walking through the Cage Warriors changing rooms and warm-up areas, I know exactly which one you're in.
Yeah, definitely. You're not going to lose me in a crowd, that's for sure.
What I'm intrigued by is that at that Cage Warriors Academy event, there is this kind of children's play. I think you know what I'm talking about, Arnie. When you walk to your left, like before you get to the squash courts where people warm up, there used to be, and they have it at Fightstar. It's at Fightstar now, I think, actually, not Colchester, but at Fightstar Championship, they have essentially a children's, they warm up in squash courts, but they have a children's play, like, ball pit. And I remember walking through there, and then some fighters had obviously finished their fights, and they decided that the best place to celebrate their victory was in this children's ball pit.
Sounds like
and
a blast.
Honestly, I think they were having more fun in there than he had winning his MMA fight. I think we should have a dedicated YouTube channel to MMA, professional MMA fighters just doing, essentially playing with children's, like, in children's sets and children's, like, adventure kingdoms. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Leo, if your goals for 2021, what are they? What are you thinking?
100% try and earn a belt.
Yeah, in BJJ?
In anything, really. My original goal was probably Muay Thai, so probably say Muay Thai, I'd like a belt in Muay Thai.
Awesome. And how about you, Katie?
Personally, I would like to have a competitive kickboxing or kind of striking fight. My only striking experience so far is one charity boxing fight, which I enjoyed, but I'd like to kick someone. For the Mini Beast movement, my goals would be to hold some mentor workshops, so get some of our mentors to hold some workout sessions and invite some Mini Beasts down to train with them. I think that would be really great.
That sounds like a kind of a really good idea, and kind of actually getting a collective group of mentors together to be able to share their experiences would be really cool. Yeah. And how about you, Arnie?
Find a gym, defend my belt. Simple.
How many times? How many Instagram posts are we going to have for 2021?
Four,
right.
I'm so two fights. That.
If by the end of 2021 I don't see at least four Instagram posts.
That's the goal. Four Instagram posts for 2021.
I know what's going to happen. 31st of December, just going to upload photos of pastries.
Yeah. Like, quick. So, sounds like a great idea, to be honest.
I don't know where he's gone. He might try and join again. But finally, what I'll do is I'll ask the question and then hopefully Leo will rejoin. What is your favorite workout or areas? Hiya, Leo. Right, we'll go to you first then as the final quickfire question. Your favorite walkout song or your favorite hype up song before you've like trained or like competed?
I'd have to say The Box.
Very nice. I like that. And how about you, Katie?
The walkout song is Without Me by Eminem.
It's a classic. That's a classic. And how about, that's one that you definitely get the crowd singing to as
well. Absolutely. You know, this looks like a job for me, so.
And how about you, Arnie?
That would be All Star with Smash Mouth. The theme song from Shrek 1.
Not some scary Norwegian like death metal. No.
Nope.
You know what? I have never been happier with someone's choice of walkout song. That is the one song when people go, what do you want to do? If they ever have the displeasure of listening to me on karaoke, it's All Star Smash Mouth because I can recite every word without even the need for the lyrics.
The and day Leo, that Kate Warrior stopped requiring to bring a CD for your walkout song, I will walk out to Smash Mouth.
I tell you what, Leo, if you haven't listened to this song, your life will be better for it once you've listened to it. It's a classic. It never gets old. It's I'm so glad you said that, aren't I? thank you so much again to all three of you for coming on. I think it's amazing to listen firsthand to kind of you guys interacting and to hear about the mentorship schemes and just kind of seeing the broader stuff of how mentors and mentees can work in martial arts. And, you know, there's so much more, you know, we all love fighting essentially, but there's so much more to it that we can help each other with. There's, you know, using that as the kind of connecting point to bring us all together and to be able to help each other, you know, climb the ladder and to get better and better in all aspects of your life is something that, you know, everyone should strive for.
Absolutely. And I think now more than ever we've all realized how much connection means to us and how much connection is important. And I think we're very lucky that the Mini Beast movement's been able to stay connected throughout lockdown.
Okay, well, before I wrap up, is there anyone that anyone wants to give a shout out to or promote?
We'll let Leo go first.
Not that I can think of right now, but I just want to say thank you to Arnie for being my mentor.
Yeah, of course.
And Kate for putting me onto Mini Beast.
Awesome. And it's Leo the Ball Curtis on Instagram for those who haven't done yet. We'll be putting a link in the profile of this page, this podcast episode anyway. How about you, Katie?
So we've got lots of different sponsors as part of the Mini Beast movement. So I'll read off a couple of them. But if people want to check out our discount codes and things like that, they can head to at the Mini Beast movement on Instagram and Facebook. And so our sponsors are Leapfrog Combat Sports, Origins Media, Notorious Fight Gear, Logo Grand Guards, Vidrate, Figure Eight, Legacy Creative, who create all of our merchandise, Natureway Shop for CBD, and Raksha Fitness Gear as well. So they're just some of the companies and brands that help support us. So like I say, we've got a massive support system, and without them, we wouldn't have been able to do half of what we've done.
I also like to promote Vigor 8 just for, not because they give me anything, but purely because I think they have some of the most hilarious marketing on their Instagram page. So it's pretty good. And how about you, Arne?
No, I think I'm good, really. I can give a shout out to my old gym, HFG and Hønefoss in Norway, but that ain't going to do much here. So,
well, you know, thank you so much for coming on, to all three of you. Arne, if I ever see you, I'll make sure that I have pastries in my hand. And
perfect.
Especially if it's post-fight. Leo, I'm terrified, and if I'm never going to try and run away from you because you'll just catch me anyway. So, you know, if there's anything to say to everyone, it's make sure you're friends with Leo because he'll catch you anyway. And Katie, I can't. I mean, you know, we've talked privately about when we were setting this up. I just think, kind of, we've not seen mentorship done like this kind of for martial arts in the UK before. You know, everyone has been able to get themselves mentors, whether that's coaches or kind of separate to that, but kind of being able to pull all of the Europe's and UK's resources, you know, especially in this kind of thriving age of mixed martial arts and martial arts in general, I think is just amazing.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. And that's it.
Have a good one.
Bye.